by this table we have in here today, right now. The world could use a whole bunch of that, could it not?
Yeah.
The presence of God, the peace, the love.
Yeah.
I mean, my heart goes out to those who don't know God's love. You know, they're trying to find something out there. And they're listening. But it's the wrong voices they're listening to. You know? It's so easy to fuel a person the wrong way by listening to the wrong way. Oh. And I just pray that our hearts here will never grow cold to where we do intercede and pray for those who are lost. You know, we see the things we look at, and Pastor mentioned it earlier about the news and stuff. When we see the things taking place and we see destruction of monuments and things, let's not forget, yes, they're monuments. They're made out of stone. But the person's doing that, may we never forget to pray for them, that their eyes would be opened, that they come to know Jesus Christ as Savior and Lord. That's what they need. You know, if that energy that they have to do evil comes harnessed by the Lord, we might have another Apostle Paul out there.
Yes.
Amen. We might have another converted tax collector, you know, like Matthew. And Lord, we know we need them tax collectors to get converted, don't we? Amen. Oh, yes, yes. You know, come one by one. We all came from the world. We were all out there doing our thing at one time. Now, my thing wasn't quite as bad as Bob's, you know. At least I never got shot at as a union man, you know what I'm saying? But we all came from somewhere. In the eyes of God, sin is sin. And just as His Word, His Spirit came and rescued us, man, we just need to intercede and pray that it comes to them. And the best way the thing to start is right here, within you. You know? Man, when we leave here today, you just take that Spirit of God with you and determine, hey, I'm going to love people. You know? And people will hate you more for loving them. You know what I'm saying? Because, Jeff, you know what? When somebody's upset and mad, they're last thing I want to do is see your smiling face.
Yes.
What do you think you're doing smiling at me for, huh? Oh, you're a smart aleck? No, man. Hey, I have a good day, you know? Yeah. But I'm telling you, that's how walls come down, you know? That's how walls come tumbling down. And this morning we're going to talk about dad for a moment. You ladies get a little break for this for a little while, okay? I'll step on the father's side. But to start with, because I don't want to forget, son, could you pass these out for me? We have we followed the footsteps of our mothers this year, and you get a $5 Dairy Queen certificate. And raise your hand if you're a daddy, and yep. But if you are in the process of fasting this week, just turn back to me. I'll use them. But we'll say thanks to all the dads. If you want to turn in the Bible and the Word of God here, I'm going to read it to you. You're welcome to turn. Exodus chapter 20. Exodus chapter 20. And we're going to go to verse 12. Yes. We won't go through all these today. We're in the area what is called the Ten Commandments. Yes. And as you're turning there, you know there's 613 commandments in the Old Testament. 613. And God only put 10 of them on a stone for us to show us that we can't keep them. You know, that shows to us that we need a Savior. Amen. Anyone here ever kept all 10 commandments? Only way I ever kept them, I got them hanging in the window. I kept them clean, okay, what I'm saying? But His Word's given to us. Hey, listen, guys, we got this sin nature. Just do these things here, we'll be fine. I broke every one of them. You get down to it, you read what Jesus says, every one of them. My lands. I thank God for the blood of Jesus. Amen? Amen. But verse 12 of the 20th chapter of Exodus says, honor your father and your mother, that your days may be prolonged in the land which the Lord your God gives you. So he's saying, honor your mother and father, and I'll give you a long life. Now, I know when I say honor your father, and we're talking about dads today, so ladies, they could have a tea party today, couldn't they, Bob? But when I say honor your father, for some of us today, you think, my dad ain't worth honoring. If you just knew my dad. And sometimes some of us even refer to him as our old man. Ah, my old man, let me tell you about him. And I just want to really encourage you, if that's you, you're not bringing honor to you. Don't call your dad the old man. Okay? God says to honor our father. And I know for a lot of us, maybe your dad wasn't the best dad that you could have, but God says still to honor them. And how do you honor them? One way is that you don't speak bad about them. You know? And not take away the hurt, not take away from the pain, not take away from what you've been through. Please. But I'm saying that he says for us to honor them and give us a long life. And if your dad is still with you, and he's one that, boy, he really was terrible, best way to honor him is to continue to pray for him, that his eyes be open. But honor our dads. And dads try to teach your children stuff. You know that? And I truly believe dads teach your kids more by how they live than by what they say. We all heard this one before, haven't we? You know, don't do that, do that, say. Anybody else ever say that? All right, I got some witnesses in here. You know what I'm saying? And we normally say that because, man, we're not perfect. And we want our kids to be perfect, right? We want them to be perfect and never be in trouble, make all the right decisions. And so, hey, listen, don't do what I've done. Do this. Well, I didn't mean to hit you that hard, okay? But again, what a person sees has a greater impact into their life than what they hear. And myself, I learn the most by hearing, seeing, and doing. I need all three of them. Some of y'all can sit there and read a book, you got it memorized, you got it all down, you go out and do brain surgery. Not me. I had to watch it on YouTube a couple of times before I tried doing brain surgery, okay? But to honor our dads. Again, sometimes what they did in life really impresses us and helps shape us into doing good things. Other times we see maybe some of their weaknesses, and it does teach us, man, I need to avoid that because I don't want to have that in my life. Okay? So saying that, I'll ask you, who could share with me this morning something that your dad taught you? Something that he impressed upon you that to this day, oh, Pat, your first one up. So your dad taught you to basically the golden rule, do on the others how you want them to do unto you. Well, that's fantastic. Great. So my question would be, have you always done that? Great. Amen. Amen. Who else? Kenny.
How to work with your hands.
Mm.
You had to work for a living. My dad taught us how to use a hammer, and believe it or not, there's the right way and the wrong way. It's the same thing with the shovel.
Well, the shovel I learned by watching a lot of the county workers is the left shoulder or the right shoulder. No, I'm just kidding. Yeah.
How to work at a young age.
Yes, amen.
You know, when our work got done, then we thought to go run in the woods and go swimming in the creek.
Right, yeah. Okay, good. Good. Tim. Good provider. Amen. 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 Anybody else? Carol. Good, good. Bob? Survival? Mm-hmm. Wow. Yeah, amen. Hmm? Tomato mayonnaise sandwich. I mean, yeah, bread? You're one of the rich people. Yeah. Baker, yeah. Amen. Anybody else this morning? Steve.
Dad taught me not to complain because it doesn't do you any good anyway.
There you go. That's true. Yep, yep, yep. Yep. Mine always taught me. Yes, Penny. No, good. Mm-hmm. Okay. Anybody else? Yeah, mine, like I shared Friday night, mine always taught me to not smoke around gasoline. I mean, he smoked. Now, I smoked for 30 years, you know. But he was a young guy. I mean, just a little fellow. Yeah, it's funny when you're young, you want to be like your dad. And so he's out there mowing grass, so you're falling behind him. Anybody else ever do that? You just follow your dad, you sit on the tractor bale or whatever. Then you get old enough to do it yourself, you want nothing to do with it, you know what I'm saying? But dad would always, you know, when time the gas up the mower, he smoked, he take a cigarette late down over here, says, son, never smoke around gasoline. Never do that. You put gas in the mower, never smoke. He says, shouldn't smoke at all, but just never smoke around gas. And that has been in my head that's been 55 years, you know. I have never, ever smoked while putting gasoline into a mower. You know, I just, wow. Oh, and your daddy, look what he did. I mean, he taught you how to trap and hunt and all kind of stuff. Taught how to skin a muskrat. And he taught you, if you ever going to trap fox, the best bait to use is keep the carcasses from the muskrats, put them in the heater in your car when you drive around, and let them decay 3 or 4 days, and the aroma really attracts fox. Yes, yes, yes. Yep, and guaranteed then when your daughter drives a car, she ain't going to pick no guys up in it because it stinks too bad. So it was an awesome thing, you know. So amen, amen.
That was his secret plan.
His secret plan, yes, yes, yes. But I learned the art. Hi, honey, how you doing today? If there's a will, there's always a way. Amen. Anybody else on the daddies? Penny, no, you're Susan. Penny's over there.
Yeah,
yeah.
And she taught me Roger
Bogras
with them. And he taught me about how to treat people.
Good.
And about what else, like the golden rule, treating people like you want to be treated.
You know, that's awesome, because if more people were like that today, actually treat people the way they want to be treated, that'd be awesome. Now, the question for you. Anything that your dad told you to do that you didn't do it, you rebelled. Okay, Shelley?
My dad always told me, make sure your brain's loaded before you shoot your mouth off.
Okay. That's good. That's very, very good. That might be the motto for next year's dad. Yeah, yeah, yeah. Anybody else? Anybody else have something that your dad told you to do? You know, my dad was always tell me, be home by midnight. My curfew was midnight, you know. And of course, dad was always working midnights, you know. Mom would be the one watching the clock, you know. But say, listen, be home by midnight. And guys, it's tough. I mean, when your girlfriend lives in Adamsville, and you got to be home by midnight, and it's not really fair because there you are. It's 11:30. I got to leave because I got down where I could drive my Camaro from Adamsville to Fresno in about 12 minutes. You know what I'm saying? Yeah, yep, yep. But yeah, I know. But man, when I get ready to leave and she bat them eyes, oh,
ah. Oh, that's my fault.
Your fault, yes, yes, yes. And so I would find myself running down 93 at 120 mile an hour. Yes. Trying to get home by midnight. And a couple of times I didn't make it there and I got grounded for a week. I didn't like being grounded. She's not bothering us. You know? And she won't bother us at all. And I've never met a child yet I can't preach over. Yeah, 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 yeah. But then I'll drive. Man, I mean, wow. Driving like crazy, get home at midnight. And I got grounded, like I said, a couple of times for being late. But I learned from that because when my boys got of age to drive, Ryan and Chad and Vincent, I taught them to be home around midnight. That way I wouldn't have my boys running 120 miles an hour down the highway trying to get home by midnight. So I learned from that, you know. But the reason we have rules from our parents is that they didn't want us to get in trouble. You know, back in my day, I don't know, they still have it on, you had a curfew. If you're caught out after midnight and you're under 18, you're in trouble. Curfew violation. Even our days yet, they still had truancy officers. Yeah, you might remember Harry Workman? I mean, yeah. I mean, I think nowadays they're happy when kids don't show up for school. Back in my day, they wanted you to be in school, you know? And so those repercussions were, but the reason our parents taught us things because they're looking toward the future. They taught you how to work. Why? Because you'll make sure you provided yourself for a living. Now, as you got older and you had your own children, have you ever told your kids what to do and they didn't do it? But have you ever told your children, guys, you ever give your guy your children instruction of what to do and they didn't do it? Anybody? Okay. Were they good instructions? What kind of instructions were they? Make sure you got long clean underwear. All right. Yes. Okay. All right. That is good instruction. Yes. Yep. Anybody else? Do I hear clean socks over here? Okay. Yes. One person? Yes. Now, may I ask, why would you have that? Why would you say just one child? Oh, safety. Because you know what could happen. You get three or four youngsters in a car, driving down the highway, acting up. Amen? I mean, you can give a child instructions, give them the keys to their car, and chances are they might do pretty well what you taught them to do. But when you get another voice beside them, talking to them, and you get one in the back seat talking to them, and next thing you know, you're drag racing people down the highway doing things you're not supposed to do. A case of beer in the back seat. Okay. Well, that's a pretty good sermon. Clean underwear, socks, and a case of beer. Well, that's the end of the service today. God bless you. Have a great week. Okay.
Everybody repent and go home.
Yeah. But the point is that we try to give instructions because of the things that could happen. Try to warn them, put it that way, the main thing, you know. And as dads or as parents, we do that because we don't want our kids to go through what we've been through. We don't want them to learn how we had to learn, okay? But chances are the children rebelled against our instructions the way we rebelled against our dad's instructions, yes. Then, I believe it's around 25 or 26, when you get older, you get mature, and you look back and on everything that your dad tried to teach you, you realize, wow, he was pretty smart. You think, well, I mean, when I was 16, I didn't know nothing. I was 25, he knew everything. Look how much dad learned in 9 years. You know what I'm saying? But we can start appreciating. I can look at my dad today, and my mother, and my grandfather, all the instructions they gave me, man, I cherish them. I appreciate it. If you're in here and you've ever been grounded before, it's because somebody loved you. Even though they might have been angry when they said, no more. It's because they loved you. They cared about you. Wow. I got grounded for a whole month once. Because I lied. I lied to my mama. And me and my buddy Gene Jones went out running around the whole night. I was supposed to be at his house. He's supposed to be at my house. And guess my luck, that morning Bueller called me for a job. And my mama tried to find me. And I wasn't what I was supposed to be. But I lied to my mom, and my dad grounded me for 30 days. Wow. That taught me a lesson. You know what I'm saying? But he did that out of love. I know that. And respect. Respect our parents. Now, I can't say this. 2 weeks later, they loved me so much they released me, okay? I think what it was, being at home with them all the time. But that's out of love. Discipline can come out of love. And a lot of times we don't understand that till we get older and we get in that same position. Then we look back, oh, wow. Even if we look back on some of the things as a child growing up, it's not good. We can still learn from that. And maybe, just maybe, look toward the reason why it was that way. And allow some of the hatred to be removed from us. Ask God for a heart of understanding. You were here today because somewhere along the line you heard about Jesus. You know? And it's changing your life. And your life isn't going to be the same as the lives that you look at that was really detrimental to you. And we just want to keep that same grace that God offers us for them. But the reason the rebellion goes on, we find it in scriptures. We find in the scripture the reason. And it's because of sin. We've all was born in sin. Amen? I mean, if you ever need an excuse for what you're doing, before you get saved, the wife said, I suppose you got a good reason for what you did, huh? Yep, I was born in sin. How'd that work, Carol? It doesn't work at all, no. But that's the reason we were born with a rebellious nature against God from the very beginning. Rebellious nature against authority. Wow. Who likes authority? Yeah? I mean, we can appreciate it now to a degree, but we rebel against it. That's why we rebel against our own parents. That's why our kids rebel against us. Because of that nature born within. And when we look at the Word of God, we need to look at it just like you all was doing earlier today. And we were singing, He's a good, good Father, how He loves us and He cares for us. So we can say, man, whatever His instructions in here is for us, it's good for us. Yeah, we got to keep that mindset. Now we look back now at my dad and everything he tried to teach me, he did it out of love. And I can respect that more and understand that more. If I could go back 55 years ago, alright, 60 years ago, I'd be a lot better child for my parents. Amen? Can I see how things could have been different? But I'm going to go forward. And I learned from that, and I try to teach my children. And I don't care how old they are, you still try to teach them, because then they teach their children. And on down, and we're all evolving with this walk of Jesus. I'm not the same person today I was 20 years ago when I got born again. Okay? And as I evolve in the Lord, then I share more and more, I get a greater understanding, and we share that to encourage one another. But we've all been born in sin, but when we look in the scriptures in Matthew 7:11, Matthew 7:11, so if you then, being evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your Father who is in heaven give what is good to those who ask Him? Wow. Of all the goodness we try to do and share, how much greater is God? How much greater is His gift to us? And we recognize that greatest gift He gave us is His Word. And His life is His Son, Jesus. Proverbs 22:6, and I've got a few I'll share with you. You mark them down or you can try and keep up with me. I try not to go like Perry Stone does and go too quick. But Proverbs 22:6. It says, train up a child in the way he should go, and even when he is old, he will not depart from it. Train up a child in the way he should go. That's what you all try to do. You know? Train him. And you went through some rebellious time training your youngsters. Some of you are just getting into the rebellious ages. Some of your kids are right at that perfect age, right? Can't talk back, can't run away from you. But keep heart and continue to train them in the way they should be. For when he is old, he will not depart from it. In John 1:12, I want to bring a couple of scriptures here together with us. We talk about being God's child. He's our Father, our Heavenly Father. He says, but as many as received him, to them he gave the right to become children of God, even to those who believe in his name. That was John 1:12. I'll read it again to you. But as many as received him, to them he gave the right to become children of God, even to those who believe in his name. You may ever get tired trying to teach your kids stuff? They're like, what good is it doing? I think so. I know what my dad would think up today if he was sitting in the front row and he heard me quote about don't smoke around gas when you're filling the lawnmower. I think something that he instilled in me, it would probably be amazing. Wow. You still remember that, huh? You know? I mean, it's awesome. I remember a lot of things that he told me. But to have that, and he told me it time and time again, not ever got tired of telling me that because he didn't want me to do it. So I never did ask him, but I don't know, maybe he did or maybe somebody he knew did that once. Smoked around gasoline, maybe it blew up. Whatever it was just a great impression that he put upon my life. I know he told me one time, don't ever pick up a lawnmower up in order to trim bushes. And I laughed, but he said, no. He worked with a guy, had a lawnmower, and he's in a hurry. He wants to take his wife to dinner. And he picked the lawnmower up, thinking, I'll just pick it up and run across my hedges. And he cut his fingers. Yeah. So there's always reason behind whatever our parents try to teach us. We don't quite understand everything, you know. But I never picked up a lawnmower either, running and do hedges with it, you know. In John 14:26, you're already in John there. But the Helper, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, he will teach you all things. He will teach you all things. He will teach you all things. So what do we have laid out here? We found out that when we come to Christ, we're a new creation. We become a child of God, right? We've read that in John 1:12. Wow! Then he says, I'm going to send you the Holy Spirit. I'm going to send you a teacher, a helper, a counselor. See, God doesn't don't do as I say, do as I do. He does it. Did he not say to train a child in the way he should go? And when he's old, he will not depart from it. Amen? So, I don't care how old you are physically, when you come to Christ, you are a new baby. And he does the same thing. I'm going to train a child in the way he should go. I'm going to send you a teacher. I'm going to send you the Holy Spirit. That way, I'll train you how you should go. I think that's awesome. Maybe you don't. Wow, God, you're right. As we think training physical kids, God does the same thing spiritually. See, can you imagine? Probably not, but having a baby. Oh, look at him, cute. Oh, okay. Put the child down and walk away. I mean, how's he going to learn how to trap? How's he going to provide food for him? How's he going to learn how to walk? How's he going to learn anything? No one would do that, would you? No, I mean, nobody would ever want to do that. Well, do you think God would want to do the same thing? You think he wants birth, this new creation, which we are when we come to Jesus? And say, okay, boom, oh, you said a prayer, okay, boom. And walk away from you? I mean, in my mind, I see as you're walking away from him, I can start seeing wolves gathering around this kid. The wolves will say, now I'm going to devour this kid. It's going to be mine. But no. God does the same thing to us, what he tells us to do to one another. Train a child in the way he should go, and when he's old, he will not depart from it. So, how many of us enjoy discipline? Nah. How many of us enjoy authority? How many of us enjoy instructions? See? Nah, right? Okay, well see, we have the same nature towards the things of God. So number one, don't think there's something wrong with you when you want to rebel against God. Okay? Because it's a nature within us. But we have to look beyond God's instructions on why does he tell us to do these things? Why does he tell me not to do these things? Why did Dad tell me to be home by midnight? He didn't want to see me in juvenile detention. Amen? Amen. So, why does my body rebel against God? Because we have a sin nature. When we are born again, we receive this new spirit. We have a new spirit. Thank you, Lord Jesus. That new spirit is inside this old carnal body. And as the spirit tries to shape us and form a God, there's a rebellious thing. Now, the awesome thing about it, and we sing about it, there's power in the blood of Jesus. He said, I'll send you another one. I'll send you power in the Holy Spirit. Power. So now, we have the ability to do what God instructs us to do if we can get our flesh under control to do it. Amen? Hey, graduation, my grandmother gave me a watch. I can be home by midnight. Ha ha! Now I have the ability. Now I had to have that desire, okay? Because I ain't going to have a desire that I want to be able to go next weekend to see my to-be wife. But that 2 extra minutes isn't worth it, a whole week of isolation. Amen? So, when we look at God being a good Father, and He wants the best for us, then sometimes we have to take back to, what is He trying to prevent? Why is it this way? Why is this rebellious state of mind? Okay? Well, we all know in John 10:10, we know that Satan, the thief, comes to steal, kill, and destroy. We know that. Okay? So he'll never want you to get closer to God, because as you get closer to God, you get farther away from him. Okay? He'll lose control of you. You know what I'm saying? Because he wants you, Daryl. He don't want you as a buddy. No. He wants you as a tormentor with them. He wants you to be in destruction. He wants you to feel pain and agony forever and ever and ever. Because he don't care about you. He don't care about you, Jeff. No. It's his misery love company. But he's trying to get you and everybody else here. And if we just take a moment here, and I'll show you what kind of good father he is. Matthew 25:41. I'm telling you, just like Kenny was saying, a day was coming, he had to step out in the workforce. And he had to know how to use a hammer right. You got to teach me that, Kenny. I have no idea. To me, the hammer is a hammer. I don't know the right way or wrong way of doing it, you know? But there is a right way, right, Kenny?
There is a right
yes,
way.
Yes, yes. Amen. Never had no idea.
It's all how you
end. Yeah, amen. See, I learned something today.
It's always how you
stick
your tongue out.
Well, yeah. Some of the, yes. Amen. But look what's coming. Look what he doesn't want us to be involved in, our Heavenly Father. In Matthew 25:41, Jesus said this. And Matthew, the born-again tax collector, he wrote this down for us. He says, then he will also say to those on his left, depart from me, accursed ones into the eternal fire which had been prepared for the devil and his angels. See, God doesn't want to have that spoken to us. Amen? He doesn't want to say, get out of here. You know, depart from me. He doesn't want that. He wants to say, come on in. You read the first part of the verse where he said, come on, I'll welcome you home. But he's trying to prevent us from going someplace that we don't want to go. And it's a battle within us, even as a born-again Christian, because the weight of evil is so great against us today, because the devil's time is short. And we got to recognize that. The devil has already been accused, he's already been sentenced, okay? And he's gone for eternity in hell. And that place was designed only for the angels. But mankind got sucked into sin, and that's where we're headed without Jesus Christ in our life. He's a good father. Say, man, listen, you're born in sin. Born in sin, and the way to that sin is separation from God for eternity. Wow. And the day of judgment is coming, we'll stand before God and give an account for our life. And say, I'll tell you some good news. I love you so much, and my son Jesus Christ has died on that cross. He paid the penalty on your sins. He paid it. We'll wipe it all clean. And then I tell you what, I will come into your life. I'll put my spirit into you. And you'll overcome these things, this world. Amen. They said, now watch out when you get it. It's going to be persecution. And some of the persecution comes inside of you. Are we not our own worst enemies at times? The thing called a head is mine. Oh, but the man says, just follow me. Follow me, because a day is going to be, he'll say, depart from me. He said, well, okay, but how bad can it be to depart from me? Well, if we look at Matthew 13:42 again, we see, it says, and Jesus, and some will be cast them into the furnace of fire, in that place there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth. Who wants to go there? Now, folks, this is a true torment the Bible is talking about, okay? A true thing that will take place. And God doesn't want that. He's a good father. The same reason why my dad didn't want me to smoke around gasoline, because it blew up my face and did something terrible to me. Amen? God is the same way. He's a good father. Saying, listen, follow me. Repent from your sins. Let me come and live within you. Because if not, man, you're going to a place called hell. I don't want you there. I don't want you to be misled. You need me, God says. You need me. And what we have to have in our hearts to understand how much God truly loves us. There's nothing on this earth, not one sin out there today, is worth entertaining to spend eternity in hell. And folks, my heart pours out for a lot of the younger folks. There is so much sin. Always been sin. But used to be you'd turn this way and get away from it for a minute. Or this way. But man, you can turn on your computer today. Unless you're Chuck and Marty, you don't have one. You turn on your computer today, and what do you see? Oh, they shut the computer off. So you pick up your phone. Oh, there it is. The iPod and Kindles. Oh, man. You turn on your TV set. I need a break. You turn on your TV set. And there it is. Constantly, constantly, constantly. My heart goes out to those born this generation. There is an absolute. And that's God. There is a life worth living. And that's through God. There is forgiveness of our sins. And that's through God. Wow. You ever have somebody pay your bill for you? You know how many times my dad bailed me out? And some of it was just very simple. I needed $5 for gas to go see my wife in Adamsville. And at times, I was embarrassed to ask my dad. I was in high school, man. He had to have a job at WWE. And anyway, I worked for a guy for $5 a day. That was it. And paid it, and my buddy would borrow my money from me. And then, so Friday, I want to go see my girlfriend. My wife. Wasn't my wife yet. I had to go to my dad and say, "Hey, Dad, are you reading the paper?" "Yes, son." "Hey, can I borrow $5? Did you get paid yesterday?" "Yes." "Where's your money?" "Well, I lent it to Baba, my friend." "What kind of friend is that, to borrow all your money?" "All right, son." He reached in his pocket and gave me $5. Which reminds me, the scripture says, "You have not because you've asked not." And sometimes we find ourselves not going to our Heavenly Father because of things that we've done stupidly. Amen? And He's just waiting for you. Now He might chastise you a little bit, like, "Hey, why did you do this for?" But He'll never turn His back on you. Like my pop, he never turned his back on me. You know? And I probably did that several times. See what type of control my wife had over me? Sure, what time? But we had to have that same picture of a loving, caring God to go towards Him, back to Him. Hey, whether I blow it again, or I have this need here, I have this need. He's waiting. He wants to be involved in His children's life. He wants to be. We have to do is invite Him in. All the days are coming. We got glorious days coming. I'm telling you what, we got power in the church. We got things happening. But the final result is His glory or destruction. In Revelation 20, verse 10, I'll close. I get two scriptures, I'll close. In Revelation chapter 20, verse 10. I'll read the first part of it, and it's going to read 10 there. And it says, "And the devil who deceived them was thrown into the lake of fire and brimstone, where the beast and the false prophet are also. And they will be tormented day and night forever and ever." Again, he says here, the devil who deceived them. Who? Us. The people. The devil who's out there preaching a false doctrine. The devil who deceived, who lied to people. God doesn't want us to be with them. With the devil. with God, but not with the devil. But there is a place, a lake of fire and brimstone, where the beast and the false prophet, and they will be tormented day in and day out. And in verse 15 of that same chapter says, "If anyone's name was not found written in the book of life, he was thrown into the lake of fire." And those who have not come to Jesus Christ as Savior and Lord, those who haven't turned their backs on this world, the names written in the Lamb's book of life, man, they were thrown in the lake of fire. And Revelation 14:11 also speaks about torment. This is the real thing, guys. Hell is a place that nobody wants to be. "And the smoke of their torment goes up forever and ever, and they have no rest day and night. Those who worship the beast and his image, and whoever received the mark of his name." Day in and day out. I know right now we're living in times where we're seeing where the prophecy spoken about the mark of the beast and one world order, one world currency, one world government, and one world religion. I mean, it's all coming together. Now, I'm not saying it's today, it's tomorrow, but the technology is there. The mark of the beast has already been spoken about. Marks, identification, global identification number, that you got to have a vaccination for this COVID-19 thing, and you got to be vaccinated and have a mark that shows that you've been vaccinated. That way you can go to different places, buy and sell, and go shopping. I mean, it's the technology all coming together. We just got to have our eyes and ears open, guys, and be in prayer. And I can't stress enough to make sure if you're a born again Christian, seek God's face, make sure you're registered, and vote. Vote for someone that stands up for the ways of God. I'm not asking you to vote for someone that got the best looks. I'm not asking you to vote for somebody that got the most charisma. You look see what they stand on. Let God lead you. And we need men and women that will stand up for the biblical principles that this nation was founded upon. Otherwise, they're going to collapse. And your grandkids and your great-grandkids, if God will tarry, they'll live in a place that we don't want them to live. But we need to stand up today and be accountable for, seek God, and be a voice. Be a voice now to those living today, and let this nation be made different for those who come behind us. And God wants us to do that. He truly does. And the last scripture is in Hebrews 10:26. We're going back to some of you guys said how your dad taught you how to work and get work ethics. And he did that because he wanted to make sure he had be able to take care of yourself, right? Be able to eat, have housing, clothing, and it all goes back to working. Amen, preacher. Oh, all right. But if he told you all these things, yep, all right, old man, and you didn't do it, eventually, you had no food, no clothing. I know your head saying, no, the government take care of me. We're not looking at the government. If you didn't do that, look what would take place. You couldn't sit around thinking, hey, it'll be okay. No. What he said would take place. You don't work, you don't eat. Well, right here in this scripture here, Hebrews 10:26-27, for if we go on sinning willfully after receiving the knowledge of the truth, there no longer remains a sacrifice for sins, but a certain terrifying expectation of judgment and the fury of a fire which consumes the adversary. So, if we receive the knowledge, God gives us out of love, gives us these instructions. He said, man, I'll come and abide with you. I'll give you strength. Follow me. I'll help you deliver you from temptation. But if we willingly continue to sin, willingly. We're not saying you mess up today, you run your mouth, you cuss. We're saying, hey, I know this is sin, but I'm going to do it anyway. If we continue to do that, God says, there's nothing else I can do for you. There's one sacrifice, that's my son. If you want to reject him, there's no other sacrifice. You're going to go to hell, is what he's saying. Okay? And that's given to us out of love. Now, you might be sitting here today right now, been following Christ, but you find yourself in sin. Okay? He's not saying you can't repent. All right? Amen? That you can't say, oh God, I shouldn't have done that. No. But he's saying, man, time comes. If your number's up today and you're willfully, you're staying in sin, whatever it is, we're only deceiving ourselves saying that we were born again following Jesus. Amen. But he tells all this to us, guys, out of love. Isn't that awesome? He might step on some toes today. But. No. He gives it to us to make our own decisions with it, okay? Our own decisions. But he's willing to walk alongside of us, stay with us. And he loves us. Even when we make bad decisions, he doesn't change his love for us. When you raise your kids and make a bad decision, do you still love the kids? Yeah, but you might have shook your head a couple of times, you know. But you still loved them. And you wanted to correct them. You wanted to forgive them. You want to help them get back on the right path. And sometimes you had to do that with tough love. But you never gave up on them. And God will never give up on you. Amen? He's a good father. Amen. Any questions today? About anything I might have said? And I do gotta confess, I did lie though. I didn't kill Maurer's cow, okay? Alright. Well, may the good Lord bless you and keep you. May he cause his face to shine upon you and be gracious to you. And may he turn his face toward you and grant you peace. May you leave here today knowing the Heavenly Father loves you, cares for you, he's watching over you, he wants to provide for you. In Jesus' name, amen.